thanking God for what He's done for us in the last 3 years. Thanking God for His faithfulness. How He's been with us. He's provided for us. He's sustained us. He's added to us. It's been good 3 years of ministry. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for you guys. And I'm thankful for this day as we think about being in this facility for 3 years. This is the day that we're ordaining, officially are recognizing 2 deacons. We're so thankful for that. So in light of this ordination service of installing 2 official servants. A deacon is just the Greek word for servant. And so they have the title, office bearer of a servant. We're acknowledging 2 servants, 2 deacons today. I'm going to preach to you about you being a servant. About you being a deacon, a little d, being a deacon. You being a minister. We'll be looking in Ephesians 4, verse 12. Only one little verse here. And what we learn is that every Christian is called to be a minister to the local church. I believe that every Christian has to be active, involved in a local church. You don't have the option to stay at home, option of going at Christianity alone. Christianity may be personal, but it's not individual. God's designed the Christian to live in community with His people, to work with His people, to submit to His people, to be held accountable to His people. God has arranged the church. It's His design. And God's arranged for every Christian to be a member of the church, to be an active part of the church, to contribute to the church. And He's called every member to be a minister to the church. You need to think about that. What is my ministry? And it's good to have ministries of all kinds. But you do have a ministry, regardless of what you have, your ministry outside of these doors. You do have a calling and a responsibility to the local church. Not just to attend. Yes, you're not to forsake the local assembling of yourselves together like some have. You're called to be here. To be committed here. To come. To show up. And that's an easy one to understand. But you're also called to serve. To minister. To assist the church. And we're not needing to create a official title or a position. We don't need everybody to be a musician or a Sunday school teacher, or run the sound, oversee the website or things of that nature. You don't need to be put into some organized official ministry to feel like you have a purpose in this church. You're called to minister to this church for where you're at in the pew. And you have a great responsibility to you. I feel the weight of the church every day. My wife feels the weight of the church every day. It's a burden. It's my calling. But you should feel it too. You should feel the weight of the ministry that you have in this church. There's 2 types of churches. We don't want to be the first type. The first type is you have, typically it's a single elder church with a preacher who preaches to everybody. People come in, they hear a sermon, and then they leave, and that's church. That happens all across America. And that's not really a church that is healthy. It's not functioning the way a church is designed to function. Yes, it's important. In fact, my first point is it's important to you to be in the pew to hear the message. That's important. We'll talk about that in just a second. That's a vital part and very important part of church. What you're doing right now, you're doing something God's called you to do, is to sit and to listen to the Word of God proclaim. But it's more than that. The second type of church is what we want to be. And it's hard to foster. It's hard to obtain. It takes work. It takes work on the elder side to foster this, to promote this. In fact, I'm trying to do it right now. And that's a church that the individual saints care and serve and minister to the other saints in the church. Where everyone has a responsibility to be mindful of the needs of the other members in the pew. You have a calling for that. You have a work before you. And we cannot do it. A few elders and a few deacons cannot do it alone. It takes the whole church working properly, functioning properly. God's given you a gift, and your gift that He's given you was made not for yourself, but for the service of God's people. And you're to utilize your gifts. Now, we need to be mindful and careful that we don't judge other Christians based upon our strengths and our gifts. We may be the one that's very outgoing and have a good ministry of being friendly to visitors and stuff that. And we wonder about the rest of the saints. Why are they not doing this? Well, it's because God didn't make them a hand. He made them a foot. And He's made you to be the hand. That way the foot will have hands. And we're all different, and we're needing to be different because we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses, and we can't function properly, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We cannot function properly independent of one another, independent of the strengths that other people have for us. And only by working together, only by serving each other and functioning like a body, as a family, will we individually grow to the full maturity of Jesus Christ. And that means that my own spiritual walk with the Lord will not be what it could be without you. I need you, and you need me. We need each other. And God has designed it that even the least saint is valuable and important in the whole process of sanctification. We need the young children who are just converted. We need every one of us to make this work. And if we're going to grow as a church, we can only grow to the capacity that we can care for one another. And once we cease to care for the saints faithfully, consistently, we don't need to grow another family. Everybody say amen to that. Unless we can take care of what God has given us, we don't need more responsibilities. We have enough right now. We have a big responsibility. And I can assure you, elders can't do it alone. So thankful that we're ordaining deacons. You know what a deacon is? A deacon is everything an elder is, but he's not necessarily called to preach or teach. He's a minister. He's a servant to care for the needs of the saints. The reason they, in Acts chapter 4, that they brought in deacons into the church of Jerusalem is because the apostles were neglecting the serving of the widows. Some were getting overlooked, and it was a hard thing to be able to do that well while they were giving themselves to prayer and preaching of the word. And thus, because they were being pulled away from their main responsibilities, they saw fit to ordain and choose deacons, 7 deacons that had the qualifications of godliness, that cared for the people, so that they could carry out these ministries and make sure that the saints were taken care of, so that the elders can stay focused on what they're called to do. And as we're growing, I can assure you, that it's easier and easier to be pulled away from the study. It's easier and easier to have less and less time to dedicate to the sermon prep and to all the other responsibilities that elders have. And we can't properly do it unless we have deacons to help bear the burdens. Now, I'm going to say we can't properly do it unless we have all the saints helping the deacons. It's not meant for only a few to serve. Every Christian's a minister. And that's the title of my message today. Every minister, every Christian is a minister in the church. Look at verse 12 with me. In fact, we'll start in verse 9 to get the context, and we'll read all the way to verse 16, but we're just going to really camp out on verse 12. In saying he ascended, what does it mean that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. These are the office bearers of the church. And this is why he gave the church leaders, spiritual guides, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, but by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, this is for all of us, speaking the truth in love, we all are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, with each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see, you have to work. You have a job description by being a part of us. And you're not to neglect your responsibility. Now, before I go on, I wonder if you actually believe me. I mean, be honest with yourself. We're about to give you a job description and tell you your role in this church. And you have to decide, honest before God. Now, you can disagree with Pastor Jeff because I misinterpret scriptures wrong all the time. I have errors of judgment. And I wouldn't be surprised that even in this sermon, I say something that's not quite right. So don't believe me because I say it. But if I actually exposit the Word of God correctly, if the Bible actually says about what I'm about to tell you, I want you to be honest with your conscience. And are you going to obey? Are you under the Word of God saying, Lord, speak, I'm ready to hear. Tell me what you want to do. I'm ready to do it. Are you? Because it's the only way this sermon is going to actually penetrate into your soul and make a difference in this church body. If you actually believe that this is indeed the Word of God and you're underneath it, that you're responsible to hear, believe, and obey. And if you do this, if we all do this, we will have a healthy church. We will have a thriving church, and I believe we'll be fit to handle more responsibility. But we're not fit if we don't do these things. Now, every Christian is a minister. We're going to look at what that means. What's your responsibility as a deacon, a little d, into this church? You're a servant of this church. And if it's not this church, you're called to serve some other church. Now, I'll go ahead and say this. Some of you may go, hey, I don't want to be a part of Grace Bible because they expect too much. Okay, I want you to, okay, you may be there, one of your back of your minds. I just want to go and sit in the back pew and do nothing. Maybe that's what you want to do. Well, go somewhere else, but you still got to serve. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to obey Christ, if you're going to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not, just leave your Christianity and say, hey, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. If you don't want to be committed to the Word of God, go ahead and quit wasting your time and wasting other people's time and go ahead and live a life of sin. If you're going to hell, go ahead and bust it open. But if you're going to be a Christian, obey the details. Look at the details. Obey the little commands. Be committed. And what does it say? It's my job, the elder's job, to equip you for the work of the ministry. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So it's your job to be equipped. To be supplied. To be furnished. You know, if you own a business, you can't do everything. You got to train your employees. You got to train your employees and they have to do the work or it's not going to get done. In the church, it's no different. The church is not just for a few leaders that do the work. Everybody has to pitch in. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody needs to function within the whole and commit themselves to it. But in order to do that, you need to come and be equipped first. It implies that we're not self-equipped. We're not newborn babes and all of a sudden we know what to do. And the reason we're not equipped, but we'll see in a minute, that your number one means of serving the church is with your speech. Is with your mouth. You're called to edify one another. You're called to speak into other people's lives. You're called to build up the body of Christ through your words and your actions. But if you're going to use your mouth to assist the church, you better know what you're talking about. How many Christians who are unequipped are giving poor counsels all the time? And you're either building people up or you're tearing them down. You're either giving them good counsel, good words of encouragement, or you're leading them astray. And so it's important that you're equipped, that you're furnished with the knowledge that you need to be able to rightly divide the word of truth and be able to speak to others when they need to hear a word. If they need to be rebuked or encouraged, you need to be able to know what you're talking about. So you need to come and be instructed. You need to be encouraged yourself. And so it's the responsibility of the pastors of the church to equip the saints. The word equip means to be enabled, to be supplied. If you've been drafted and enlisted into the military at the time of war, you need to be trained before you go into battle. And this is a battle. So it's important to come and hear the Word of God explain. And one reason I love preaching expositionally is not just because it teaches the Bible in context, but it teaches you how to read the Bible. It teaches you how to study the Word of God by just seeing how the Word of God is explained. It's important that you read the Bible expositionally in any context in which it's given. And thus, if you've been drafted into the military, it's time of war, you need boot camp, you need training, you need equipping. And if you're out on the front lines, like some of you are, you need resupplied. You need a constant supply line. You come every Sunday to be charged, to be renewed, to be re-energized. You take several Sundays off, and I promise you, it will affect your spiritual life. And so you need the encouragement. You need the strength of other saints to pour into you so that you can have the spiritual excitement and encouragement and to carry on the work. So you'll stay motivated. And thus you come in every week for new supplies, new food to sustain you for the week and for the work ahead of you. You see, some Christians know just enough to be dangerous. They need to set and be equipped for a while before they seek to equip others. But you know, you're giving counsel all the time, over the phone, in a random conversation. You're giving counsel to people. And so you need to make sure that I'm giving good counsel. Now, I hope you feel the weight of that. I know I do. I come in here every Sunday with a burden. Am I preaching the Word of God? Is it right? And I'm not scared of preaching in front of a lot of people. Obviously, I'm not nervous about public speaking. I know there's a God who's watching me. And that terrifies me. You need to take this job seriously. I hope that you do. That you're called to war. You're called to battle. You're called to care. Take it seriously. Equip yourself. Study the Scriptures. And this is one of the things I want you to see. Your spiritual life is not just for your own spiritual benefit. It never has been. You know, it's like, well, I want to be an A student. I want to be close to the Lord. I've heard of a man, and I won't mention his name, but that gave his life to prayer and gave his life to these wonderful experiences. But when he died, his wife wrote a book and said he was the worst husband in the world. And everybody still reads his books. See, this is not just about you having your own spiritual walk with the Lord and having these moments you're caught up in the third heavens and you have no concern about the saints next to you. This is true religion, visiting orphans and widows in their distress. This is when it really means something to you, is when you care about others and you're getting down into the ditches and you're helping the needs of those that you see around you. There are hurting people all around us. You say, I don't see any hurt. Come talk to me. There's more than we can handle. There's people hurting everywhere. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be concerned. And it begins being thoughtful. You know how easy it is to be unthoughtful when you come to church? I mean, honestly. You come to church and you're not really thinking about needs or concerns of people in the pew next to you. You're not thinking about, you know, meeting the visitors or thinking about this or that. You know, it's just easy to come and say, oh, I can't wait to talk to so-and-so. I hadn't seen them in a week. I want to talk to them about this or that. And then we go and we leave and we haven't really used our time wisely, nor have we used our time to serve the saints. And I'm here to call us to do a better job, though I do know you are doing a good job. I am thankful for how you do serve and how you do minister to one another. So I'm not here trying to just slam us. I'm excited about how we love one another and care for one another as a church. But let's step it up a little bit. Let's do a better job at being thoughtful. And that's where it begins. See, we need to be equipped so that we can go and serve and do the work of the ministry. That's what it says. He's given apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, all these people who have a public ministry to teach publicly so that you can encourage privately. So that you can evangelize privately. You have a job and it's typically one-on-one. Maybe you're not teaching a class. Maybe you're not in some public ministry. It's like, I don't have a role in the church. You know, a lot of church growth works this way. We've got to plug you in. We've got to get you into a responsibility if we're going to keep you. Make you feel important. And you may go, I don't feel like I have a role in Grace Bible Church. Well, that's because you're not looking. Or you have a misunderstanding of what serving the church looks like. You have a role. So much need surrounding you and I that a few pastors can't pastor everybody. We'll be poor pastors if all the pastoring is done by just the leadership. Yeah. I know this is an unusual sermon, and I'm kind of like breaking all my rules of preaching right now. But I just want to make sure that you're hearing me. You're hearing me, everybody? Everybody hearing me? Is this making sense to you? Well, you need to be equipped because look what it says. For the work. Equip the saints for the work. In reality, pastors are to lead and be examples in what working looks like. The ministry, the public ministry especially, we're to show what caring looks like. We're to show you how to love one another. We're to pray for you. Yes, I'm not saying you go visit people in the hospital so I can stay home. No, I'm not saying that. Of all people, the ministers and leaders need to demonstrate love and care and concern. Called into the pastoral ministry, you're called into caring and sharing and loving people. But again, we can't do it all. I mean, think of the church in Jerusalem, 5,000 people. The only way they could do it is if everybody pitched in and did the work. And it's truly called a work. It's labor. It's like a job. You know what's easy to do? The easiest thing in the world to do is nothing. And we all do it. We're all experts at it. We've got a lot of training in doing nothing. All you have to do is to do nothing is just sit there. You know where sin comes from? You know, it goes into like real heinous sins like homosexuality and God giving you over to a debased mind. And it gets really, really bad at the bottom of the list of iniquities. But you know where it began in Romans? The first initiation of that downward spiral. They were not thankful. It's the sin of unthoughtfulness. And it happens so easy for us. Oh, I rat on myself. Once my wife says, Jeff, you just don't think about me like this. Is 5 years. I've reformed since then. She says, you just don't think about me anymore. And I'm like, man, I'm working hard. I'm mowing the yard. I'm doing this. And she goes, I know you're doing all these things and you're a good provider and you care about us. And I know you love me, but you used to think about me more. You do this or do that. And it's like she put a dagger into my heart because I knew she was right. I got too busy. I quit pursuing my wife. I quit writing notes and little things of that nature. You know, because thoughtfulness is the first thing that goes. It's the first thing. It's easy to neglect. It's easy not to be thoughtful. It's not like you're trying to hurt someone. It's not like you're trying to be mean. It just becomes easy to be thoughtless. And we need to be thoughtful. Come to church not self-focused. Oh, I hope someone talks to me. You need to be the initiator. You need to be the one that's like, hey, how do I reach out to someone that needs a good word of encouragement? You need to be the one who's thoughtful. We all need to be thoughtful. You see, this work is true work. It takes work. Sunday's my favorite day, but it's my hardest day. And it should be your favorite day. And it should be your hardest day. It's a day of work. I know it's a day of rest. But it's a day set aside from all secular occupations, your other work, so that you can work for God. You know, Sundays is a good day to go visit people in the hospital. You have a day set aside for that. You say, when do I have time to do that? What, Sunday? Sunday will work. You got a whole day. God says, okay, listen, I'm going to help you schedule your life so you don't overbook yourself, so you're all about yourself. That's why we have the Lord's Day. That way, it's not just about making money. It's not just about our career. It's not just about living for ourselves. It's not just about mowing the yard and doing the things we got to get done. God has set a day so that you can do the work of the ministry. And there's plenty of work to be done. It's work. So I don't like work. Well, too bad. It's called work for a reason. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm revealing my heart and preaching the way I tell other people not to preach. But I'm revealing my heart to you. The hardest thing about pastoring is not the preaching. I love it. I love preaching. I love sermon preparation. I could see it be easy to go, okay, let me just go on preaching tours. You know, let me just go around preaching to churches. That would be a great ministry. Whew. Preach. Leave. See ya. What a ministry that would be. Or be sometimes, you know, preach on the radio. That would be great. People I don't know. I don't have to see. They don't have to see me. That's the fun part of ministry. You know what the hard part of ministry is? Caring. Caring is the hard part. It's hard for various reasons. One, it's easy to be selfish and just not care. Or self-focused, self-centered. That's easy. It's easy for me to be, you know, unconcerned about the needs of the saints. I'll just be honest with you. It's easy to be selfish. But there's another reason caring is hard work. Because you get stabbed in the back a lot. The hardest thing about pastoring, and there's a reason if you're not called, you should run from it. The hardest part about pastoring is that you care and you love and you put your heart into it and you care about people, you pray for people. And next thing you know, they're disgruntled about something small and they left the church. And it's like, I gave you my life. I gave you my care. I gave you my love. I gave you. I cared for you. And you're leaving for that? You know what that makes you want to do as a pastor? Resign. It's hard on the pastors. It's hard on the pastor's wife. It's hard. It's hard because when you care, you know you're leading yourselves into pain eventually. You ever hear of people that give up on church? They just give up on church. It's because they've been hurt by churches. Let me restate that. They've been hurt by people in churches. God's church is beautiful. But some of His people are not. Some of His people can be the most brutal. Because you expect God's love out of them. You expect forgiveness. You expect these things out of God's people. But it's hard. It's hard to care. And when you get hurt, you know what you want to do? Pull in your emotions. And by closing yourself off emotionally, you know what you're doing. You're ceasing to care. You stop caring. It's easy not to care. Work, the ministry is work. It's the hardest work because it includes your emotions. It includes your heart. It includes your affections. It includes your love. And if you've been hurt, if you've been wounded, don't listen to the devil that will tell you, quit loving. Remember the love of Jesus and operate on His love. That He continues to love you when you hurt Him. He's faithful when you're unfaithful. Therefore, His faithful love, His unceasing care for you should cause you out of love and concern for Him to care for others, because you cannot assist Jesus because He's not thirsty. He's not hungry. He's not brokenhearted. He doesn't have the needs. He doesn't have the concerns, but His people whom He loves do. So if you're going to minister to Jesus Christ, you've got to minister to His sheep. That's how you love the Lord Jesus Christ, by caring, by opening up your heart, investing in people. Don't have grudges in your mind. Be quick to overlook offenses. One of the best things that's happened to me, about 10 years ago, I made this commitment, and it's been the most helpful thing in my ministry, is I made a commitment to think the best of everyone. Purposefully. And sometimes I have to tell myself, that is a good person. That person is a saved child of God. I'm going to assume the best until proven worse. I'm going to think the best. Love chooses not to think evil. We need to think the best of one another and serve one another. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, and whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everyone and everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You see, caring for people is the work of the ministry. Romans 12:9, love must be sincere. We know, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. I love this phrase, be devoted to one another. If that doesn't imply consistent, active, faithful church attendance, I don't know what does. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Challenge you. I challenge all of you, myself included. Look for a need in the church this week. Pray, Lord, reveal a need to me in the church. Then seek to share what you have to the need that you see. So, Jeff, I don't have much money. Or could you call someone? I mean, notice who's not here. It's harder and harder for me to scan as I preach. You know, you see me looking around. I'm looking for who's here and who's not here. Multitasking. And I'm looking. You know who I don't see here? Papa Wallace. Right? He's supposed to be right here. And his two lovely daughters. Why don't we reach out to him this week? Now, not all of us. That may be overwhelming. But somebody could reach out to Papa Wallace and his daughters. I'm not going to go further, but I can tell you there's six other people not here. But we need to be aware of not just who's here, but who's not here. Not we're trying to be militant. You've got to be here or you're not loving the Lord. But just so, you know, I just notice when people are not here, you've got to be gone for several weeks before I come after you. But it takes work to be mindful, right? It takes work to care for people. It takes work to see the needs that surround us. Galatians 6:10, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We have a special responsibility. for each other here. Hebrews 6:10, I love this verse. If you do this, it says, God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards His name in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. He will not forget how you serve the body of Christ. He's faithful and just to remember your works and your labor of love for the body. We see what, my last point is essentially this. What is this ministry or this work look like? We see it is to edify. Principally, we're called to edify one another. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. For building up, that word means edifying, the body of Christ. The goal is to build up, to establish, to strengthen. You know how Moses, his hands was lifted up, and Aaron and other men came beside him. And I mean, how long can you hold your hands before they get weary? Some of you are standing in the midst of a battle and you're weary. You're tired. You don't even realize how tired you are. You don't know how difficult it is. Young mothers, you're tired. It's work. Some of you older ladies that your kids are out of the home and you're empty nesters. Remember those who are not empty nesters. Those who have been married for a while and enjoy a loving relationship. Remember the singles. Remember to pray for them. I'm praying for you. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. You know, we have plenty of needs to pray for. To go beside someone, say, I know you look tired. How can I pray for you? How can I carry your burden? What can I do to help you? Is there any needs you have? Sometimes we just need to be outright. What could I do to help you? How can I serve you? I'm praying for you. You're on my mind. Now, I know you can't do that for everybody in the church. It's too overwhelming. It's overwhelming to keep up with everybody. But as we grow, I'm realizing more and more that the church is growing too much for me to do it. Or for the elders to do it alone. And that's the struggle. I'm used to a smaller church. I pastored a smaller church. I knew everybody very intimately. I knew the needs. And it was so much easier then. And it's kind of complexing upon me in these days to know there are needs that I haven't addressed. And then when I start thinking about it, I get overwhelmed with it because I still need family time. We have to pull together. And we are pulling together. We couldn't do it. In fact, we couldn't do it without you. And you're doing a good job. I see needs being met all the time. And I love it that it's happening behind the scenes. There's no attention being drawn to it. There's a lot of service going on, and the rest of us don't know it. And don't assume just because you don't see someone serving that they're not serving. Don't assume that. In fact, think the best in people. Assume everybody is giving their 2 cents. That everybody is concerned about the people in the church and that they're praying for one another. Assume the best. And seek to fill in the holes where you see holes. Wherever you see a need, God's given you the eyes to see that need so that you can take care of that weakness that we have. So we're called to build one another. And this mainly takes place through our speech. Hebrews 10:24 says this, and let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. So your job Sunday morning and then Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday is how do I help other people have more good works? How do I stir you up to good works? You know who the best basketball players are? That's not the ones that make the most point. It's when they're in the team in basketball. When they're on the floor, everybody's scoring more. Everybody is doing to their highest capacity. Because this player is elevating everybody's talent and productivity. Those are the best players. Sometimes teams can do better if they have one player that hogs the ball but can makes a lot of shots. Sometimes they do better when he's on the bench. We don't need just one expert. We need a team. And we need to see what we can do. You're called. Do not forsake the local assembling of yourselves together. That's what verse 26 says. But reason we're to go to church is that we may stir one another up to good works. First Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage or build up one another, edify one another, encourage one another, and build one another up just as you are doing. Keep doing it. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome talk come from your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up the one in need and bringing grace to those who listen. Sometimes all you need to do is tell someone, I'm praying for you, or I've been praying for you. Knowing that, hey, someone's praying for me. What an encouragement that is. Helps us. It's when we feel left alone or forgotten that it's very difficult. Now, this happens through our speech. This is why fellowship is so important to the church. This is why Christian fellowship is a sign of a healthy church. I preached in one church, and there are many churches like this. I preached my sermon, and once I was done, the pastor took me by the hand and said, listen, we get to the front. Well, during the prayer, right? We left to the front where people exit into the parking lot. And by the time the closing prayer, there was a line. It was like a funeral procession. There was a line, and everybody's going out to their cars. And you literally had to be at the door. You weren't going to talk to anybody. And they're like, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. And in 5 minutes, the whole church of 250 people was empty. 5 minutes. It's not a sign of a healthy church. It's not a sign of people investing and dedicating themselves to one another. Where's the one another's in a setting like that? How do you love one another, rebuke one another, encourage one another, pray for one another? All the one another's of scriptures, where is there time? You know what spiritual fellowship is? It's not just conversation. It's not just chit-chatting about the Razorbacks. It's Christ in you being shared to someone else. And it's truly a means of grace. It's edifying. It builds you up. It encourages you. My God has signed fellowship to the church. Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Try to get here early as just a practical tip. Get here early. Now, you can't be the last to leave. I promise you that. There are some people that won't ever get out of here. But you could be early. And you can not just rush off. There's more important things to do than eat. Now, this job description that you and I have not only includes our words, our mouths, our speech, it includes our singing. Do you realize one of the reasons we sing is to carry out this responsibility? Ephesians 5:19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Who are you addressing? Yes, you're singing unto the Lord, but who else are you addressing? One another. God recognizes that seeing other people worship God and singing is a means of edification to self. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. It's amazing to hear someone else's voice. That's why we believe in congregational singing. And we're not trying to have a concert that dominates the people's voices. The loudest instrument in our singing needs to be your voice. Singing not just to God and have your private, alone, mystical experience with God. You know, let's get the lights down so you can be all alone and encounter God. No, you have a job to sing. You have a responsibility for those around you to hear you, to sing to them. And we should listen for the voices of the saints and take nourishment from God's people crying out. This takes place in prayer meetings. You know, we're praying. It accomplishes more than you think. Prayer gets the ear of God. It moves mountains. God hears prayers. There's so many reasons to pray. But you know another reason to pray? To hear people pray. What an encouragement it is to hear the ladies pray. You know, in our prayer meeting, we've been trying to encourage the women to pray more, which means telling the men to make room for the women. But what we learn is you're learning that we have some very spiritual women in this church. Their hearts coming out. You're hearing the prayers of the people and you're like, man, this man knows the Lord. My brother-in-law was here last Sunday from South Carolina visiting. And when we got back, he kept on telling me that prayer meeting was amazing. I wish we had a prayer meeting like this. I'm going to try to get a prayer meeting started in our church list. And did you hear that one person's prayer? I don't know who he's talking about. Did you hear what he said about the walls of Jericho coming down? That so encouraged me. You're talking about the work of the ministry. True work being done to minister to the saints. Pray. Speak up. Pray. It's helpful for the saints to hear you pray. There's so many things to do, but also included in the work of the ministry is serving one another. Devote yourself to one another, praying for one another, caring for one another, seeking to edify one another, look for the needs. We're going to go on and on. But in my conclusion, let me give you some practical, like, just real practical suggestions. Sometimes you can get legalistic when you try to apply the scriptures too fine, you know, too detailed. But at the same time, let me give you some suggestions, and me some suggestions of how we can do a better job as a church body. Give, after the sermon and after the service, give the first 5 minutes to new visitors. Have you noticed we have a lot of visitors? In fact, if you're a visitor in here and you're like, hey, I'm getting overlooked, they didn't say hi to me. Well, that's because no one knows you're new, because you're setting to someone who's new. You're all new, you know, and so we're having a hard time to know who's been here for 1 week or who's been here for, you know, 6 weeks or who's been here. Some of you don't know that some of us are here for 15 years or longer. So give the first 5 minutes to looking for someone you don't know. Purposefully welcoming the visitors. Come to church early and look for those that you don't know and introduce yourself. I know some of you are not, you're like, I'm not good at this. I'm shy and I'm bashful. That's fine. Some of you are outgoing. And you can compensate for us who are shy. And just make a point to notice that. You know, the first 5 minutes, that's my policy. First 5 minutes, sometimes it's hard to do that. But my first 5 minutes is trying to say hi to people I don't know. The second 5 minutes is to those people that I'm concerned about. Then 15 minutes after that, then that's when I speak to everybody else that I can speak to at any time. So I'm trying to be intentional. I want you to be intentional about how to do things, saints. Because without being intentional about what you're doing, you're not going to get a lot of work done. You need to have a plan. Keep a watch on who's not at church. Help us do that. It's a sign of there's a need. There's a sign there's a concern. Some people go on vacation and that's a wonderful thing. And I'm glad for that. Some people miss because they're sick. Some people miss because they didn't feel like coming. And we need to be aware of who's here and who's not here so that we can better take care of the people that God has given us. Let me ask you this. If you had 100 sheep, which one's not important? We're all important to God. We can't go, okay, well, if we lose a family or two, we've grown enough to absorb. It's not going to be a big deal. No, it is a big deal. It is a big deal when people leave the church. It hurts. It should still hurt. And we should do all that we can to fight for the people that we have. I think it would be good for the younger people to outwork the seniors when it comes to fellowship meals and things of that nature. The young people, they got more energy. They should outwork the seniors. But the seniors, don't neglect to pull a young person next to you and say, hey, come help me. Show them how to work. Come help me. Would you help me with this? Disciple. Older women. Be mindful that there's young mothers and young wives. You don't have to come and critique their parenting. All you have to do is come and say, I'm praying for you. What can I do to help you? You know what a big ministry would be? For some, I've heard of families never having a date night on their own because they're watching their kids for 18 years. They've never had anybody to babysit their kids. Have you ever thought about that? That there are some people that they don't have babysitters, they can't afford it, and they don't have family that's close to watch. So, hey, maybe I could, I'm going to offer to babysit. I'll throw Letha in my name out there first. But older women help mentor the younger women. And younger women listen to the older women. Seek their advice. But one of the things it says is seek to be hospitable. Don't look at Sunday morning as the only day of work. You have a job description. You can be hospitable and you can meet from house to house and you can serve one another through the week. You can call people throughout the week. You can have a ministry. You just have to be intentional about it. You don't have to wait for the church to assign you to it. You take it. You've been called by God to do it. Let's pray. Then we'll have the elders come up and then our two deacons to come up and have them sit in the chair. After I pray, y'all come.